Welcome to Life and Sirens, Behind and On the Scene, a podcast by first responders. We're your hosts, Sophie,
Jamie,
and Aubrey.
The content provided in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the official policies or positions of any medical institutions, emergency medical services, or healthcare organizations. Patient privacy is a top priority, and all discussions involving real-world emergency situations are de-identified and altered to ensure confidentiality. Always consult with a qualified healthcare professional or your local EMS protocols before making any decisions regarding patient care or medical practices. Listener discretion is advised, as some topics may include discussions of real-world emergency situations.
I'm Sophie, and I'm a recovering control freak.
Hi, my name's Jamie, and I'm a recovering granny yeller.
Hi, my name's Aubrey, and I'm a recovering napaholic.
Welcome to this week's episode of Life and Sirens, where we talk about our lifestyle changes, the way that we became better people, and how we figured out that we needed it.
Oh, yeah. It's about to get interesting. First off, you may have heard us mention this in some previous episodes, or maybe you know us more personally or follow us on social media, but the first thing we got rid of was
alcohol.
Jane was first. She was the leader of the pack in sobriety.
No more drinky bear.
Yeah, she taught us how it goes and how it makes you better.
Yeah, I've been sober for 3.5 years, maybe a little over, and I just was not a super nice person when I drank. I used it for a lot of coping mechanisms. It was not every day. It was never at work. It was never something that I felt like I needed to wake up and function. But when I did drink, man, did I drink. I went hard and in excess. And every like 3 months or so, I would turn into just a raging, terrible human being. And I said the meanest things. And I pushed a lot of people away that I loved. And a lot of people put up with it for a really long time. And I realized that if you drink instead of facing your feelings, then at some point you turn into a not very nice person. And I feel like a lot of people have probably experienced the same thing. And so some events culminated and I finally was like, that is it. And I got sober and it has been the best choice I ever made.
And that's some self-actualization right there. And I think it's important to emphasize that just because you may be quote unquote functioning or you think that you're functioning does not mean that you aren't hurting yourself and the people around you.
Yeah. Some of the coolest things that I learned in the process of getting sober and after I started to really learn a lot about my brain is how even casual drinking is. I think I was a bit past casual, but I think I drank in accordance with a lot of the way a lot of my friends did and a lot of the people in my career do. And so we consider that still casual drinking. It affects your frontal lobe to like an umpteenth degree. And so 6 months after I got sober, I actually took that long to get the full functioning parts of my brain back to where I was like really firing on all cylinders. And please take that with a grain of salt because I still am ADHD and have plenty of mental illness. And so firing on all cylinders is relative. But to be able to have that full functioning processing back so that I could be emotionally regulated and I could really work through feeling and issues, man, that was cool. Terrifying, yeah. But so cool.
And I think that we were both pretty inspired by you. I think that one thing I do want to say is don't hit rock bottom before you decide to make a change, because that can look really scary. It can look very scary. It was for me, and I don't know that I've ever said this out loud, but I'm going to right now for the sake of transparency. I am, 30 days short of a year sober, and it was necessary for me to get sober to save my life because I made an attempt on my life and had a very big awakening, and I'm so happy. My life has changed significantly. There's been a lot of changes, not just the absence of alcohol, but it's wild how much clarity you get. So there is a very vulnerable moment for Sophie. No one knows that except for everyone now. So cheers.
Cheers. My experience with sobriety was very different, but absolutely rock bottom. And it can look different for everybody. I still had my career. I still had respect. I was still relatively successful. I just, my personal life was in absolute shambles. And we all kind of land there. And I made a decision that I either was going to get sober and be a better person, or I was going to, you know, peace out.
Yeah, and I think, when did you hit 1,000 days? That was crazy.
Yeah, 1,000.
That's a long time.
We did 1,000 days, and I have the greatest friends in the world, and they did a party for my 1,000 days sober. And it was such a cool moment, because I wasn't the only one on this planet that thought that I probably couldn't do it. And so when I hit the 1,000 days and I did, it was just the coolest moment of all my favorite humans in one place, just being like,
hey, this is amazing, you're amazing.
You're sober, and we like you like a lot more now. Obs, what was your journey like? When did you get sober? Why did you decide to do it?
I got sober shortly after you did. We were already partners on the ambulance, and had been for some time. And me and you have very similar family history as far as, addiction and such. And we would hang out outside of work, and a lot of that would revolve around alcohol. And I think that with our work schedule, it's very easy to consume a large amount of alcohol on our days off. And I just remember us having conversations like, do you think this is a problem? And we'd kind of talk about our family history and how, like, that's always a concern in the back of our head. But, I mean, we have jobs, we are functioning, we don't need it every day, we are doing just fine. And then you got sober, and I just kept replaying all those conversations back and being like, well, you know, if you decided that it was a problem, then it probably is a problem. And so that was kind of an awakening for me, to take all of those concerns that have kind of been gnawing at me for years more seriously. And now having a person that I can do it with was huge. I think that's something that we all pride ourselves on, is just having a community to be able to express these things and be able to build each other up. And that's something that's huge. And I do not take that for granted, because I know that I would not be here if it wasn't for that.
And I think it's important also to recognize how social drinking is. So finding people that can support sobriety, even if they're continuing to drink, just making it a safe and comfortable space for your sobriety is so important, and I'm really glad we found that here.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there are so many cool, one big thing that I want to talk about is alcohol alternatives. And so a huge thing that helped me stay sober was, one, non-alcoholic beer. It was very cool, because we do a lot of things, especially in adulthood. Like, you grow up, you get older, and then everything that you do is like, you go to a bar, you go on the lake, you go do something that the underlying activity is always drinking.
Yep.
And when you separate yourself from that consumption, all of a sudden you find yourself being separated from a lot of social activities that you do with people that you like. And so NA beer was a huge alternative for us. And it started out with just like Bud Zero.
Really boring things. Yeah. But man, there's so many.
It has elevated. Every popular beer that you can think of probably makes an NA option. And really, now I've been drinking it for 3.5 years, so I think it tastes good. I don't know if it does or not, but I think the new ones, they have like IPAs, they have all kinds of stuff, which is so cool. But you're talking about having a support system. One of our best friends and my roommate, Haley, she was always in my corner, but was also, she'd witnessed a lot of my low points. And so she was like, I don't know about this. And it was such a cool moment, because when we started spending time together again, after I had been sober for a little while, when we would go get dinner or go do whatever, she's someone that can very casually drink, and she has a shut off. She'll have one beer and be fine. And I could not do that. But if we went out for dinner, if they didn't have an NA beer option, she wouldn't get one. And we never talked about it. It was never anything that I asked her to do, but it was so respectful. And it was such a cool moment that I was like, okay, you are really in my corner for this. And now, after being 3.5 years in, I can be around people that drink. I can be in places that there's alcohol. And I always have my own like version of that.
Mm-hmm. I think that when we first got sober, the social anxiety of going somewhere, and one, knowing that drinking is not an option. And then two, being there and being around everybody else that was drinking, that was really hard for a really long time, and then it slowly wasn't. That does get better with time, and now we do it all the time with absolutely no problem.
Absolutely. And when you bring like an alternative, like an NA beer or an alternative spirit or like whatever it is, you have something in your hand, and that really helps with the people asking you if you want a drink.
Yes.
Because almost if you're holding something, a lot of times people don't ask. And when you're initially first getting sober, there's a lot of shame behind it of being like, oh no, I don't drink. Because a lot of people want to know why, especially if they're used to experiencing you drinking. They want to know why. And sometimes you're just not in a place where you want to talk about that. And that was a good thing that helped get me through that first year, really, of being able to just have something in my hand and nobody asked any questions because it looks like beer, which was cool.
And actually, one of the newest things that we have discovered is if you live in the Nashville area, there is this store called Killjoy, and they sell a lot of alcohol alternatives, and it's really cool, and you should check it out if you live nearby.
Oh yeah, they have alternative like whiskeys and just some really cool stuff. My friend and I, we went to a bar here in the city that we live in, and I got an old fashioned because I used to like bourbon a lot, and I got an old fashioned, and I sent it back to the bar because it was so good that I was like, oh, there's whiskey in this, like this is a problem. So I sent it back. And I was like, you guys just tried to ruin my life. And the bartender held up the bottle that she used and was like, no, it's NA. And it was called NKD. And it is a like whiskey alternative. And I've tried a lot of them. But it is so authentic and so good that if you are kind of toying with the idea of sobriety and you're looking for something that, you know, you can still like sit down and do like a nightcap or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. If you enjoy like an old fashioned, something like that, it is a fantastic alternative. I will say that we did test some vodka alternatives.
Not good.
Turns out it is very hard to mimic the flavor of just rubbing alcohol. And so it's no bueno.
Left with the rubbing and no alcohol. And let me tell you, it's bad.
It is not pleasant. So, you know, it's not perfect. But there's also like adaptogenic spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like things that are derived from a kava root and L-thalonine and ashwagandha and different stuff like that, which is cool. Some of them are like anti-anxiety agents and they can really help kind of mellow. And so that's only something that is relatively new that we've looked into, which is cool. But yeah, how do you think sobriety has changed you as like a person? Do you think that you would be where you are now if you weren't sober?
Absolutely not. I'd probably be in a front yard somewhere.
I'd probably be under a bush somewhere.
I think that becoming sober for me has made me so much more intentional in my relationships. It has made me so much more present as a human. We talked about this a lot when we first got sober. When you are making plans with other people, you are very intentional with that because you realize that some of the people that you hung out with, you only did so because you knew there would be alcohol involved. And I don't mean that in like a way. I mean that in like a, that's just what you guys have historically always done. And it turns out that maybe I am looking for somebody with a little bit more substance than running down a street blaring music.
Oh, absolutely. I realized that I hung out with people that I think I otherwise don't have a lot in common with. It's not to say that those aren't like good people, but we really are not compatible as friends. And it was wildly surface. And the only reason that we enjoyed each other's company is because we were drunk.
Correct.
And realizing that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I can value my time, but also their time. I don't think that they would enjoy the things that I want to talk about. And vice versa. And so it was really cool, just exactly like that. It was really cool to become intentional with the time that I spent with people. And those humans that I enjoyed spending time with. And I found that because I was more intentional and I wanted more depth, I wanted to talk about like feelings and emotions and like things that matter. Those people also became more intentional in conversation, and it wasn't so surface and so just like meh. And some of the times surface relationships are important, but man, once you realize that almost all your relationships are that way, like that's tough. That's tough. Like, especially if you drink a lot, or maybe it's not even drinking, like maybe it's other substances, but if you find yourself altered a lot intentionally, your romantic relationships, like you realize how surface those are, because instead of fighting, you guys like have a drink. Any serious conversation is paired with a glass of wine. Any discomfort or disagreement is followed by going out and getting drunk. Like, almost always you will numb the uncomfortable moments in a relationship with alcohol. And when you can't do that, you have to like really know each other and really figure it out.
Yeah.
And be so much more present, which is cool. It also helped me realize that accountability is not scary. Like, that was a crazy thing. I used to be like, not my fault, not my problem. I was really, really defensive, especially if I had drank a lot and I didn't remember a lot of the events of the night before. I was super defensive on my actions, mostly because I was embarrassed. And I am so much better about that now because I recognize it as like a defense mechanism. And so now when I make mistakes or when I do something that I really shouldn't have done, there's no excuses. I can't say, well, I was drunk. It was out of character because I cannot be held responsible for my actions. Now I absolutely can be. So anything that I do, it's one, because I wanted to, or because I just wasn't thinking. Like, it makes you take more accountability for what you're doing and who you are as a person. And I find that to be, initially that was really scary, but now it's really freeing. Because you just are like, yep, I did it. You own it. And then you move forward.
And you're also able to take personal accountability for your actions in the moment. Like, you're able to take stock of what you're doing in the moment and be like, I'm going to feel really bad about this in a little bit, instead of just being like, I don't care what the happens tonight. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah, it doesn't go on for hours.
Correct.
It's like a minute of heightened, like for me, a lot of times it is frustration or anger. And so it'll be a minute of being like heightened and elevated and maybe showing my a little bit. And then I stop and I'm like, that's not going to feel good in about right now. And so it really helps you move forward through that.
If you know me, you know, I always joke that I hate small talk and I'm like, just tell me where it went wrong. And I feel like that has gotten tenfold more true since getting sober. 'Cause now, man, now I really don't like small talk. Now I'm really like, let's just start from the beginning. Tell me where it all went wrong and we'll go from there.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot harder to have like boring small talk conversations. I find that it is so much more mentally exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
The mental toll that it takes to talk about things that don't matter is wild, because you start to really value your time.
Yes.
Because it's not passing without you noticing. Like, you notice time passing now.
Mm-hmm.
You start to value your time. I think that sobriety for me, it's made me a better and a more intentional human. It's also made me a far better employee.
Absolutely.
Not only am I a better medic, because again, I was never intoxicated at work. I'd never crossed that line, but I would be hungover. I would stay up till 2 a.m. when I had to be at work at 7 for a 24-hour shift. And I feel like a lot of that is in youth. You do that. But man, am I a better provider now, because I am responsible with my own brain. So I am able to show up for my patients. And that is such a cool, I'm very like anal retentive about how much sleep I get. I really want to be in bed by 9. And sometimes people keep me awake past 9 and I'm mad about it. But it's made me a better provider, because I'm 100% there when we're at work. My brain's not recovering from a night of debauchery.
Debauchery. So that's a little bit about our sobriety journey, and our newest, as of January 1st, 2025, our newest adventure is not vaping. It's hard to even say.
Yeah, we are quitting the vapes. I started smoking cigarettes when I was 18 years old. Like, you know, in like the 1950s, where everyone was like, we didn't know. Okay, well, in 2010, we did know. We absolutely knew. I just thought they were cool. And so I was that kid, and I started smoking, and then I was going to quit when I went to college. I went to college, and then all the cool people there smoked too. And so I didn't quit. And I kept it on, and then I couldn't climb a flight of stairs because that hurt my lungs. And so probably, I mean, I smoked for like 8 or 9 years. And then it was in 2018 or 2019.
Yeah, you still smoked when I met you.
Yeah, so it must have been 2019, I think.
2019, yeah.
I quit smoking, and I started vaping. It wasn't really intentional. Most of my friends vaped. At that point, they had quit smoking and started vaping. And it was just winter. And it was cold outside. And I was really tired of going out there to smoke a cigarette. So I started vaping. And when I started vaping, that got a lot better. I could climb stairs again. I could hike. Could do all the things. And so I quit smoking, started vaping, and my general lung capacity improved significantly. But I am about to be 32 years old, and I just think that at some point I'm going to be a granny that vapes. And I just did not want to be that person. I do not want to be 60, 70 years old on 100 feet of oxygen tubing and being like, you know, kids, when I was your age, I used to be a paramedic. Like, I just don't. That doesn't sound great to me. So we decided to stop vaping. What we have chosen as an alternative is this little stick. It's called Fume, F-U-M. And it is literally like a hand-carved wooden tube with a little cartridge in it that's flavored. And so it is our flavored air. There are no chemicals, no nicotine, no nothing.
You ever paid for air? Now we do.
Paid a lot of money for air. And it's actually really cool. It kind of fixes like the hand-to-mouth fixation. Mm-hmm. And it gives you something to do. And it tastes yummy. And so that is our vice at the moment, is flavored air.
Absolutely. Yeah, these have helped so much. I was honestly terrified to stop vaping because I had tried multiple times in the past and had been moderately successful for a few days. But let me tell you, they were a rough couple of few days. So James got us these Fumes, and they have helped exponentially. So would recommend if anybody is looking to quit smoking, vaping, any of the sort.
Any of the above. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking for something to do, I guess.
If you want a new vice, I guess you can start flavored air.
It's
a better alternative, I suppose.
All of getting sober and things like that kind of started this like mental health journey for all of us. A lot of it came out of necessity because we were in a poor place mentally. And I think that a lot of first responders, a lot of people in the EMS field, we are neurodivergent at baseline. A lot of us trace adrenaline. A lot of us are dopamine deficient. Whether that's ADHD, OCD, whatever it is, most of us come from that space. And we use a lot of self-medicating vices. Alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, whatever it is. I'm not giving up caffeine. I will not. It's all I have left. but a lot of us come from these spaces, and we have a hard time regulating those things. And so once we realized that what we were doing wasn't working and decided that cutting alcohol out, because that was the most mind-altering substance that I used, made me not a good person. And I started kind of taking control of my own mental health. It got a lot easier. And then it's kind of waxed and waned. Sometimes it's been harder. You start to really learn a lot about yourself. And sometimes you learn things that you don't like. And working through that and figuring it out, that was our way of managing and maintaining a healthy mind, was to get sober and now to quit vaping and things like that. But it is by no means the only way. We have plenty of friends that aren't sober, and it's just something that it's a line that we had to draw. But we also do plenty of other things to keep our brains healthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, what's our favorite thing to do to keep our brains healthy?
Go hiking, go camping, anything outdoors.
Yes. Outside. I want to be in the sun. I want to be outside. That is like the best possible thing for my brain. Sophie actually made us go on our first ever backpacking trip. She took us to Cumberland Island. It is basically a mosquito-ridden marshland. It's 100 degrees and 100% humidity. It could not have been more humid if it was raining. And honestly, I think it would have been less humid if it was raining.
Yeah, then at least the water would have fallen.
Yeah, at one point it did rain and it felt better.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like the most miserable experience, and I had the greatest time. It's the first taste of clarity that my brain got when I first got sober.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. So if you are looking for a new hobby or something to do that is faux free, for the most part, gear is expensive. But
gear is expensive. Once you get that, it's smooth sailing.
It is smooth sailing. It's wonderful to get outside and to do things with your feet and your body, and your brain just kind of follows.
Absolutely. That's like our favorite. We try to do a yearly trip. I know we've mentioned that before, but we try to do a yearly backpacking trip, and it is the best reset button that we do for ourselves. It's so nice. Usually we do it in the winter time, which I know sounds a little crazy, but it's usually when our brains need a reset button the most.
Yeah, we get the winter saddies.
We do get the winter saddies.
So if you are like sober curious or anything like that, you do not have to be as extreme as we were, where we just said absolutely not, no more forever. If you want to, you know, try some of the things that we've talked about, we can put a link on some of our socials for some different like alcohol alternative options. Mm-hmm. And it, sometimes it's just nice to see what your brain can do outside of what it's used to. Also, if you are struggling with addiction or alcohol use or anything like that, just recognize that you're the only person that can choose to change that. And you're the only person that can choose sobriety. It cannot be forced upon you. Your brain, there's a moment in time where like a switch just kind of flips and you're tired of being tired. And you you decide to make that change. And if you are that person, just know that that's a decision that you have to make. Nobody can make you do that. If you have somebody in your life that you think should make that decision, just know that you can't make them. You can't force them to. It has to be their choice or it won't work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in the realm of EMS, we probably have a lot of people that we love and that we care about that we think is maybe struggling in the same regard. And so just, I don't know, what do you think the best way to show up for people in that are in that situation is?
I think consistency. Just letting people know that you are here and you care for them, that you are willing to help them if they want it. And like James said, they have to want it for themselves. But you can be that person that they turn to when they decide that they want that for themselves. And that's a cool feeling in both directions.
It really is. And you just make sure that in any of these regards, whether you are that person or you are the person that is adjacent to that person, that you take care of yourself. Boundaries are allowed and encouraged. Take care of yourself, your own mental health. If you don't have the bandwidth, then that's okay.
Absolutely. We're actually in the process of starting a peer support program at the service that we work for. And we just did the interviews for them the other day. And I mentioned during my interview that I think it is wild how our entire career centers around accounting for human error. That is our whole job. From the time you get in the ambulance to the time the call is done, driving to the call, you're constantly watching to make sure that you don't get hit by other cars. The call that you're going to usually is a result of human error. Our entire career revolves around human error. But we, as a entire career, are terrible at giving grace to the people who work this job and their human errors. And that was kind of the point of this episode, is just to point that out and say that there are other ways and that you can have a community of people that care, and we as a career, we can do better.
Absolutely. To provide support to each other and recognize that we're not robots that are doing this job.
Yeah.
That we are brains in here that are functioning and that are also living entire lives outside of this job. And so I encourage everybody to find their tribe, find the people that you click with, that you enjoy spending time with, that support you, that, you know, really like lift you up in joyful moments, but also in like negative ones. I think that the most important thing for me was that I found people that shared in my success and in my like joy and excitement. And it helped so much that our lifestyles are the same. But to have people that there's no jealousy, there's no pride, like it is truly just joy for each other succeeding. And it's been a beautiful feeling. And so if you can find those humans, find them. And in the meantime, if you are working for a service that does not have a peer support program or does not have any resources to that regard, reach out. You can email us at lifeandsirenspod@gmail.com. And we'll see what we can do to help. We're still babies in that avenue, but we can probably point you in the right direction. I also, in kind of a more lighthearted comment, would like to say that we're still fun.
Oh, yeah. We're still a good time.
We are a good party having time.
You can still invite us to your barbecues and we will still throw down.
Yes. It's going to be a little bit more ridiculous because now you know that our dancing is
organic.
It's real, man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can still have a good time. Which is pretty nifty.
Mm-hmm.
We just wanted to chat with you guys a little bit about where we came from, how we got here, and why we care about our humans that we do this job with. Because we were the struggle buses for quite some time, and arguably still are, but like maybe in a prettier package, I'm not sure. But yeah, so with that, we're going to wrap it up. I just want to say thank you guys for listening. If you enjoy episodes like this, where it has more of a lifestyle aspect, let us know. We want to help all our buddies do good and be the best people that they can.
Absolutely.
This has been Life in Sirens, produced by three nerds trying to bring you content that you might actually care about.